السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله: هذا يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم، لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا، رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن ذلك الفوز العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم أخو المسلم، لا يخونه ولا يكذبه ولا يخذله، إلى آخر الحديث، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has yet again afforded us this beautiful opportunity, albeit this is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to start off by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we see many, many Jumu'ahs, and may Allah Pak make it such that we are able to fulfill the haqq and the right of this beautiful day of Jumu'ah. Over the last two occasions, we were discussing this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was touching upon a very important aspect as far as our deen is concerned, as far as our practices are concerned, and as far as we are concerned, the aspect of honesty. Aspect of honesty, the hadith, just to recap quickly, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. A Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. And the effect of this one statement, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has created a whole community. Immediately we all are related, irrespective of our background, our language, of our financial status, of our social standing. All this bears no merit. The only thing that bears merit is the fact that we are Muslims, so we are brothers of each other. The next thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, la yakhunu. This person, he doesn't deceive his fellow brother. He doesn't deceive the fellow Muslim. In other words, deception got to do with a person's appearance, his style, his way. So in his mannerisms, in his style, in his way, this person is 100% straight, 100% honest. Then the next part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, la yakdhibu. This person doesn't lie to his brother. In other words, explicitly via his tongue, or via his writing, etc., he doesn't speak lies. What you see is what you get. There isn't a catchphrase and then T's and C's apply. What he says is what he gives. And he's extremely honest and he's particular about what he says. In the last part of this first jumla, this first sentence of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, la yakdhuluhu. A Muslim doesn't desert, he doesn't leave, he doesn't abandon his fellow Muslim. Now one may think, what has abandoning, deserting a fellow Muslim got to do with honesty? What has this got to do, what link has this got with honesty? Very often it happens such, that when a person is 100% true, is 100% true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is 100% true to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it doesn't matter what conditions come in front of him, he will fulfill it. He won't desert. A beautiful incident is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, the incident of Hazrat Anas ibn Nadhr radiallahu anhu. He was the uncle, the paternal uncle of Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, as we all know, was the khadim, the personal attendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the age of 9 till approximately the age of 19, 10 years he was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was his schooling. That was the college that he studied in, was the college at the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he learned everything in those 10 years as far as hadith etc. are concerned, directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was the personal attendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is mentioning about his uncle Hazrat Anas bin Nadhr radiallahu anhu, who had accepted Islam only after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to Madinah Sharif. And he says that this uncle of mine was such a truthful, such a honest, such a genuine person, that one occasion his sister Rubayya radiallahu anha had injured and broken off the tooth of a slave girl. And in Islam we know there's something known as qisas. If somebody breaks, somebody hurts, injures another person, then there's some type of retribution that is taken. And the retribution that was needed to taken was her front tooth needed to be taken, had to be removed because of what she had done to the slave girl. So Hazrat Anas bin Nadhr radiallahu anhu, he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wallahi la tuksaru saniyatuha, that my sister's front tooth will not be taken as retribution. But he took the name of Allah. Wallahi, that I take an oath to Allah that it will not be taken. Now it so happened that those people that had brought the case, that slave girls party that had brought the case, immediately they had accepted and they were willing to take some kind of monetary compensation. So they did not want to take the tut of Hazrat Rubayyah radiallahu ta'ala anha. So then on that instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement, "Inna min ibadillah lo aqsama ala Allahi labarrahu." There are certain individuals that because of their honesty, because of their genuineness, because of them being so genuine, if they have to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say something, Allah will make that thing happen according to what they said. This was the genuineness that they had. So Hazrat Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was very remorseful. He was very regretful that he did not participate in the Battle of Badr. As we know, the Battle of Badr wasn't something that was compulsory. It initially started as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Sahaba, few of them going out to intercept the caravan of Abu Sufyan. It wasn't as a battle, so to speak, but although it ended up being a battle. But he was very regretful that he didn't have the opportunity to be participating or to participate in the Battle of Badr. So his regret was genuine, unlike our regret. If a man misses Fajr Namaz, then he thinks to himself it's a bad thing, but the next day again he's not in the masjid for Fajr Namaz. Or a person comes late for Jummah Salat, he thinks I should be early the next week, but next week again he's late. But this regret that this Sahabi had was a genuine regret. And he said, he went up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he expressed his regret. He said, "Wallahi la'in ashhadani Allahu, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me present, qital al-mushrikeen, Allah subhanahu layarayanna Allahu ma asna'u, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely will make it such that the mushrikeen, Allah will make it such, Allah will see what I will do. In other words, what I will do, how I will fight, how I will present myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely witness how I will present myself." So then Hazrat Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that فَلَمَّنْ كَشَفَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ in the battle of Uhud. When the battle of Uhud came, now that was the next battle. Now he took this oath after the battle of Badr that if the opportunity comes and Allah Pak makes it such that I am present, then Allah will see, Allah will definitely show how I will fight. So when the battle of Uhud came, this Hazrat Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know that فَلَمَّنْ كَشَفَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ the Muslims as such became exposed and now they were being attacked from all sides. So what did he do, this Sahabi? So he went forward and he made a dua. He said, "Allahumma inni a'tadhiru ilayka mimma sana'a ha'ula," ya'ni ashaba. That, "O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you forgiveness for what my companions have done." In other words, they have left their post, they have moved around, and as a result, the Muslims were getting attacked. So I'm asking you for forgiveness for my companions. "Wa abra'u mimma sana'a ha'ula," ya'ni al-mushrikeen. And I am free from what these mushrikeen are doing. They are attacking the Muslims, they are hurting, they are injuring the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am free from all this. And then this Sahabi, he proceeds and he sees Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he tells him, "Ya Sa'd, wallahi al-jannah wa rabbi al-nadr." That in other words, Jannah is in front of me. Inni ajidu rihaha duna Uhudin. I am getting the smell of Jannah by the mountain of Uhud. He's getting the smell of Jannah because of his genuineness. And then the Sahabi, he proceeds and he fights. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu is relating this hadith. He says that after he was martyred in this battle, we found him with 80 plus wounds on his body and all on the front part of his body. In other words, he was so genuine in that oath that he took, that if Allah gives me that opportunity, I will give my life. We saw sword wounds on him. We saw pokes on him via spears, via arrows. We saw all types of wounds on him, and he was mutilated to such an extent that the only person that could recognize him was his sister, and that too by his fingertips. In other words, he was so genuine to what he said. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this genuineness. This is something that has left the ummah and is leaving the Muslims. So he did not desert the situation. So today we find a person, he keeps the company of another person, so long as things are good. But what this hadith is saying, la yaghdulu, a person doesn't desert his fellow Muslim brother, come what may. On the lighter side, there was a person, that he was a very poor person. He is very poor, and how we have it generally, is a person is a Muslim, he may be a namazi, he may be a pious person, but if he doesn't have a social standing, and if he doesn't have wealth, people don't want to know the person generally. So he would come to the masjid, he'll perform his salah, etc. But nobody would really make salam to him, and people will continue. So he worked his way up slowly, but gradually, eventually he became a very wealthy person. Very wealthy person. Now the same person comes to the masjid, everyone wants to meet him, everyone wants to talk to him, everyone wants to make salam to him. So what this person would do is whenever somebody made salam to him, he would reply, "Main aapka salam zarur poncha duga." Then definitely I will give you salams. So one day one person followed him to see what is he talking about, he's going to give you salams. So he went and he followed this person. He was going home, opening his tijori, his safe, and all the money there, he's addressing the money that such and such a person gave salams for you today, such and such a person gave salams for you today. So the person asked him, "What are you up to?" He said, "You know what, the day when I had no money in the safe was empty, nobody would make salam to me. So in actual fact, they're not making salam to me, they're making salam to the money. So that's why I'm just conveying their salams to the money." So this is our situation, is that when a person, when times are good, then person has many friends, and when times are bad, then friends are few. So a Muslim is such that he keeps the company of a fellow Muslim all the time. Now to try and finish off this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam day after said, upon a Muslim, every Muslim, لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ عِرْضُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَدَمُهُ. The three things are haram for one Muslim upon another Muslim. The first thing is عِرْضُ, a person's honor. This is something that is taken so lightly today, unfortunately. We get one WhatsApp message, or we are talking to somebody, we are sitting in a gathering, we so easily make ghibat of somebody else. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. From the beauty of a person's Islam, is he leaves out those things that don't concern him. Another person's chat, another person's talk, stories about another person, why does it concern us? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the honor of a fellow Muslim is haram upon you. Why should we eat into the honor of somebody else? The next thing, wamalu, we shouldn't take and we shouldn't cheat, we shouldn't take the money of somebody else. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man iqtata haqqa imri'in muslimin biyaminihi, a person who takes the right of a fellow Muslim, another Muslim, because of his oath, حرم الله عليه الجنة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes jannah haram upon this person. وَأَوْجَبَ عَلَيْهِ النَّارِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes fire of Jahannam wajib upon this person. So sahaba, one sahabi came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, وَإِنْ كَانَ شَيْئًا يَسِيرًا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what if it is a very petty thing? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, وَإِنْ كَانَ قَضِيبًا مِنْ أَرَاكُ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ, even if it is a twig from the Araq tree. In other words, even if it is a miswak that you took unlawfully, that you took incorrectly, even then this is the consequence of doing this, of taking somebody else's. That Jannat becomes haram upon you and Jahannam becomes wajib upon you. So careful we have to be as far as the wealth of somebody else is concerned. And the last part of the hadith, بِحَزْبِ مْرِئِمْ مِنَ الشَّرِّ أَيْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ, that it is sufficient to be regarded as evil that a person looks down at another person. This looking down is of two types. It's very important for us to understand it, because generally nowadays people misunderstand this. When a person is reading salah in a masjid, for example, nobody has a right. That salat is diyanatan between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody has a right to be judgmental in that situation and decide whether that person is reading salah with ikhlas or not. That is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man is giving charity. Nobody has the right to say that this person is giving charity to show off. That charity is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to other matters, when it comes to appointing the imam, then we have to see, deen asks us to see, it comes in hadith, many hadiths and in fiqh kitabs, that person that is aqra'ahum, that person that is most learned as far as ilm is concerned, and as far as qira'at is concerned, and then thereafter, that person that was the first to make hijrat, and then thereafter, that person that is the eldest, and that person that is oldest in Islam, etc., etc., we got to look and see if everyone is equal. We got to prioritize, we got to file each person, and see who is most suitable to be the imam. So deen asks us in certain circumstances to be judgmental. Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullah alayhi, great tabi, this is mentioned in the last hadith of Shamail al-Tirmizi, that he says, "Inna hadha al-ilma deenun," this knowledge that you're getting of deen is not something that you just take from Google. It's not something that you just read on a WhatsApp or you find one pamphlet and you take it. "Inna hadha al-ilma deenun," that this knowledge is your deen. "Fanzuru amman ta'khudhuna deenakum," be judgmental. Profile who you are taking this deen from. So we are asked in certain circumstances to be judgmental. So in a circumstance where we go to see who is the imam, who we are taking our knowledge from, who we are appointing as a qudwa, as an example for our children, that person who we are praising, And we are saying that this person should be an example. Has that person got the necessary taqwa in his life? Has he got the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, itaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to be judgmental. So this last part of the hadith, that is sufficient to be regarded as evil, that we look down. In certain circumstances, we have to maintain this ability and we have to be judgmental. Otherwise, a person, what will happen? Is he'll go out on the street, the first person he'll meet there on the street, he'll say, "Bhai, become my sheikh. I'm looking for a sheikh." So that person say, "How can you make me your sheikh?" He said, "Look, in our deen, we are not supposed to be judgmental. But in matters like this, we have to be judgmental. Otherwise, every person will make the next person on the street, he'll find somebody and make him a sheikh." So in deen, there are two categories. Sometimes we have to be judgmental and profile and categorize. And other times, we are not supposed to. Where it is diyanatan between that person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing all the sifats. What a beautiful hadith. It encapsulates so many different things. Bring that honesty back into our life. Bring that genuineness between ourselves and our brothers back in our lives. We don't desert a person for anything. We are honest as far as our dealings with him are concerned. We are honest as far as his izzat and his respect is concerned. And the last part of the hadith, unnecessarily we don't look down upon anyone. Allah give us tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.